Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That it is. Welcome into Hour 2 of Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredient Butcher Shop. Don't forget, tomorrow is Fired Up Thursday at the Mercado East location, 85th and Old Cheney. Get out there, get lunch starting at 11, first come and first serve. He's here, Husker Hall of Famer, linebacker Jay Foreman. Jay, welcome to the show. What's good?
You know, it's a balmy day out there. It's super cold, so trying to just warm up a little bit. No, just playing. Hey, about a week away, man.
Eight days. Yeah. It's an even number. We know you like those.
Yes. We're about a week away. And so the hay isn't in the barn, but you're starting to
bale it up.
And do they tie that stuff up, or do they just roll it up super tight?
No, I think they have the little wires around it.
Yeah.
Should be how it stays together.
There you go.
Can't say I've ever seen it up close.
I've seen it as close as I want to be.
Just close enough to tell it's in a bale.
Yeah.
Jay, lots to get to in the football realm. DP and I got a lot of baseball chatter out of the way in the first hour because I know it's football season for most of you, but the Royals are making a playoff push, so I had to opine on some baseball. But I have a fun exercise for us here in this segment.
All right.
College football and NFL combination win totals. So this was keyed by a text from Hoff, fellow Colts fan, on the text line. He was going back and forth with me a little bit about the Anthony Richardson stuff. And I asked him, if I gave you Colts and Huskers combined win total over under of 16.5, which way are you going? Hoff said that's a tough line. So between the Indianapolis Colts and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, I give you 16.5 wins between the two of them.
So they got to win 17 to win.
17 to win over under. I kind of like the line. Kind of scares
me. Over.
You like the over?
Wait, so
is that seven or eight for Nebraska?
It's at least eight for Nebraska.
So then Colts got to get
nine. I can see that. And I guess even with Daniel Jones.
Because of Daniel Jones, as you tried to convince me yesterday.
But the more that I start talking to you, I'm less convinced.
That's what I'm saying. I kind of like the line. I think it's close.
If they don't hit, it's because of the Colts.
I would tend to agree with that. Let's take it to your realm, Jay. Bills and Huskers, 20.5.
Oh, yeah.
That's 13 for the Bills and 8. Yeah.
Doesn't even matter.
12 and 9.
However you get it. Yeah. You know exactly what Buffalo's going to do. House everybody.
I mean, winning 12 games is not easy in the NFL, I've been told.
It's not. But I'm not going to let you talk me off Buffalo.
How many wins is it going to take to win the AFC East this year? Because I think 11 gets you the South. 10 or 11 gets you the South.
12 and 5. I think it's going to be more competitive than it has been. I think the Dolphins are a team. They won't be very good, but they'll upset somebody late in the season or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think
New England's ought to be tougher.
New England will be tougher, and I think the Jets will be tougher.
Okay. Texans and Huskers, 18.5.
Now that's tough. That's tough. And again, I think the Huskers with the schedule should be okay.
And you're operating off of 8 wins for the Huskers for pretty much all of these.
Yeah, and then Houston. I don't know.
They got to get 10 then, Jay.
Or
you got to get 11.
That offensive line.
It is not good. It is problematic. And
we got Nico Collins. I believe he's a number one. I don't know if he's a 1A, if you know what I mean.
How far behind is Tank Dell in that 1 versus 2 conversation?
Well, Tank's more of a slot. If he's healthy, then that that just changes everything.
That's a good one too.
Yeah. But I don't know if they I don't know what his status is yet.
76-11 says Colts will be lucky to get five wins this year. Here's the thing. Steichen has gotten 17 wins the last 2 years. 9-8 and 8-9. The Colts haven't bottomed out since they had to pick in the top four, obviously, where they took Anthony Richardson after the 2022 season. The Colts are going to be competitive, chippy, tough enough, right? They'll be a pain. They'll be a thorn. Last year, the defense got shredded at times. Gus Bradley out, Lou Anarumo in. That's what I'm most curious to see for the Colts, Jay, is how do they take to the Lou Anarumo scheme, and how does that mix with what Shane Steichen wants to do with the offense, right? I mean, yeah. What Lou Anarumo did in Cincinnati worked for a couple years, and then teams figured it out. That was Gus Bradley's big problem, not changing. They might have the opposite problem with Anarumo, is he asks a lot of his guys, you know, it's the exotic stuff more so than the Bradley vanilla.
Well, I think the thing that helps him, he has some, if they stay healthy, he has three bona fide pass rushers, and you got a guy up the middle. That's where Cincinnati was dangerous. They could drop seven and rush four.
Right.
That's what made the defense go. Now, granted, he did really good against the Chiefs, played, you know, two high safeties, get out of the screen, keep everything in front of you, pass rush to get there, cause havoc, make tackles. I think the Colts have a 7 through 12 roster. That means of the 32 teams, I think they have anywhere from a 7 to 12 roster.
For how many more years, though? That's the next question.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with salary cap. But I think they have a pretty good roster. They can win now with that roster. They can win the AFC South if Daniel Jones doesn't Daniel Jones.
If he's the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, they got a chance.
And Jonathan Taylor's healthy?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be a problem. I think the biggest thing with the Colts right now and last year was the health. That's pretty much the league, but yeah, especially with them.
I'll give you the Chiefs Huskers over under, same number as Bills Huskers, 20 and a half.
Yeah.
Taking it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Steelers Huskers, 18 and a half.
I'm going to go with Mr. Consistency.
Taking Tomlin to get 11?
I'm going to go with, if Tomlin goes 10, then we go 10, then we go 9. I think it'll work. I think it's going to work. Now, Aaron's got to be healthy.
On his best behavior.
Yeah, he's got to be on his best behavior. But I think he'll do, I think it'll be all right.
Bears Huskers, 16 and a half.
That's the hardest one.
Are you buying Ben Johnson?
I believe in the coach. Okay. I'm not sure if I believe in the players. Okay. But they drafted well. They free agency even better.
Made the Tooney trade.
I like their staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'll go out on a limb. I'll go with the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give them a break.
Let's say the Bears win. We'll give them 10 games for the purpose of the exercise here. Where does that put them in the NFC North? I mean, that is going to be a competitive division. Detroit.
See, I think the Vikings take a step back. I think the Packers stay even.
So Vikings, not like tanking bad, but like just kind of mediocre 7-11, 8-9 range.
Yeah, 8-9.
7-10, I guess. Yeah.
Around there. It's a shoulda, coulda, woulda year for them. Mm-hmm. I think it's the, you know, growth year for McCarthy.
Packers get 10, maybe 11.
And then I think Detroit is the X factor. Those first four games will let you know if Detroit's going to make it or not.
The talent is there. Yeah. But like you talked about with the Eagles, losing both coordinators,
takes a year to get back right. Mm-hmm. Because the continuity isn't there. Mm-hmm. The confidence. I don't think the Bears make the playoffs. I think them and the Vikings are they're battling out for who's going to be the third place.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. Okay, last one then, just for kicks and gigs. Of course, our resident Packers fan, Mississippi Mud Dog, says Packers are going to win the division. Not saying it's off the table.
I can see that.
It's there. They'll be competitive. They'd probably be my pick for second right now. I like Detroit's roster top to bottom a little bit more than I do Green Bay's. Because it's the same injury.
It's the same. Yeah. And that, you know, that's crucial time in training camp. Mm-hmm. It's the same roster, you know, just different guy. But I trust it. I like Dan Campbell, man. I think he lessens, he smooths out some of the rough edges that the two new coordinators might experience. Mm. I think he's a better X's and O's and a better coach than people give him credit for. I think people keep going back to that first press conference and the whole thing.
Biting kneecaps.
Well, I knew what he was saying. I've been there. You're saying something and people are killing you for it. But I think those two, I think Detroit's going to come down a little bit. And rightfully so. It's a harder schedule. Mm-hmm. Expectations are higher. I think Green Bay is going to kind of stay the same. And I think the Vikings are going to level off. And I think for the Bears, they're going to level up. But it's not going to be playoffs.
And that could be another win or two for the Bears just in the division, depending on how the rest of that shakes out. Who's the college football equivalent to Dan Campbell?
Well, like personality-wise?
Personality-wise, maybe. Yeah.
It'd be Kirby.
You think Kirby? Okay, I see it.
Or at the time, I wouldn't say Harbaugh. I'd probably say Kirby with the intensity, physicalness, and practice. Very demanding, but very like encouraging. He pushes you more mentally than physically or as much.
I see it.
I mean, obviously, Dan Campbell is significantly bigger and better shape than Kirby.
round is a shape.
Yeah. Dan Campbell has not missed the workout.
He is not. Cowboys Huskers, 15.5.
I'm going to take that. I'm going to say this, and I hate saying it. Number two things. I think the Cowboys are going to be better than what people give them credit for if they bring back Micah Parsons. That's okay. Number one. So I think they'll make it. And pretty much the Huskers are like the Cowboys. Nebraska is America's team, especially around here. Mm-hmm. The Jerry Jones docuseries is actually excellent. Have you seen it?
I saw some of the clips of it. I haven't watched it front to back yet.
They'll do it. Hey, if you could write a story of your life, okay, fresh out of college, $100 million, buy the Cowboys. All right, I'll buy the Cowboys.
Don't mind if I do.
Fire Tom Landry, bring your buddy in here, own the team. Yeah, I'm a little old. Got me a yacht. You know, all right, I'm going to do a docuseries on my life. He going out like a champion. I mean, obviously, it's all pro Cowboys, pro Jerry, but it's actually, you know, it's pretty good.
Where you have Dak Prescott coming back?
If healthy, he's going to do the same thing.
That's a top 10 dude in the league if he's healthy. Plus CD. I still like that. Tight end's fine. Offensive line.
Ferguson is good.
Yeah.
Defense, like the running backs. The defense is drafted in free agency. They were too small. Mm-hmm. And I think they got a little bit more physical,
especially at the middle, because they got the Michigan.
Yeah, Mozzie Smith. I think they'll be okay.
How many wins is it going to take to win the NFC East? Philly's
going to be at least 12.
Giants are still bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Commanders. I think they're the X factor in that division.
Do you believe in the Commanders? Do you believe that? I just think it's going to
be. I don't think they get 12 again. I can see them winning double digits. I don't know if they get to 12.
Okay, then what does Dallas do?
I think best case for Dallas is probably 11. Best case.
And how everything many did they win last year again?
Like 7. It was 6 and 11, 7 and 10, somewhere in that range.
So do you think Dak Prescott, Pickens, are worth 4 victories?
I think
with the schedule.
I think normal regression maybe from Jaden Daniels as a sophomore, right? You talk about that all the time. There's more film on you now, and that's going to be hard to replicate. Really, my issues with the Commanders are less so Jaden Daniels and more Dan Quinn. I like Dan Quinn. I don't love Dan Quinn. Maybe that's unfair of me, but I'm not fully sold on him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Terry McLaurin situation is out there hanging over the Commanders' heads. Defense should be fine, but I think normal statistical regression for the Redskins. I think Dak with something to prove. I think Dak is going to have to paper over some mistakes from Brian Schottenheimer, which I don't know if I fully trust him to do, but I could see Washington winning 10, Dallas winning, you know, 8, 9. I think that's most likely for Dallas. I think it's going to be tight between those two for second.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that worries me about Dallas is maybe Schottenheimer, but you've seen first-year coaches do well.
You have?
I mean, I know he's had more table talk about football than majority of guys in the coaching business.
Yeah.
I think he's seen things and been able to kind of be exposed to things that probably makes him more ready than, I guess, a quote unquote lifer. You know, I mean, you got to think Bruce Arians is kind of like him. Now, I don't think Brian Schottenheimer's offenses have been as explosive and stat wise as consistent as Bruce Arians. But you know, Bruce Arians had to wait forever to you know somebody take a chance on him. So the playbook is there. It's just to be it'll be interesting to see how when he starts to coach, how he's able to kind of steer this ship.
One of the Cowboys sites put out kind of a review of Brian Schottenheimer. This is just going to be super high level, right? This isn't going to drill down into the nitty gritty. His first stint when he was in New York, Eric Mangini was head coach. Jets ranked 18th, 25th, and 9th in points scored per games. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre was the quarterback for that year where they were top 10. Rex Ryan comes in. Schottenheimer stays 17th, 12th, and 12th in scoring with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. He went to the Rams. His offense has finished 25th, 21st, and 21st behind Sam Bradford, Kellen Clemens, Austin Davis, and Sean Hill. At Georgia in 2015, Bulldogs ranked 79th in the country in scoring with Grayson Lambert at quarterback. Then he's probably best known for his time in Seattle. That's where he reemerged in the NFL with Russell Wilson as quarterback. His offenses were 6th, 9th, and 8th in scoring, 15th, 8th, and 12th in yards. Never higher than 13th in passing, but 1st, 4th, and 12th in rushing yards. And that wasn't young Russ either. That was 2018, 19, yeah. and 20, where you knew what Russ was at that point.
So you just got to expect the same. And maybe a couple spots better because they have two legit receivers.
Mm-hmm.
If the defense takes that same type of growth, then you're really in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure about the Commanders. Because I know you were saying that, you know what, you're not sold on Dan Quinn. But the biggest thing, you got to look at the staff. He has a pretty dang good staff.
Okay.
Now, here's the bigger question for you. Do you really believe in the Bachelor as the offensive coordinator? Cliff Kingsbury. That's really, because I think, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I will always, I guess, be accountable and apologize. I've been on Pocket Hercules, right, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He played well last year. He showed true maturity and growth. And you know what? I'll even say, even for Cliff Kingsbury, last year, I felt like it was his best coaching ever. He was innovative. They were physical. They were able to adjust. Then they were able to readjust. He coached totally different than I expected.
Do you think it happens for another year, though? Because for me, I still worry it's a little too simplistic, but that can work when you have Superman like Jaden Daniels, when you have a true one like Terry McLaurin. We'll see what Debo's got left in the tank. Maybe if Eckler's healthy, that's another dynamic that he can provide to that team as well. I don't want to be completely colored and soured by the past, because maybe Cliff Kingsbury is a better offensive coordinator than head coach. And that's fine. If that's all he's going to be, he can focus on offensive game planning. Hey, Jaden, what do you like? What are you comfortable with? Where can we push you to grow by 5% to keep defenses off balance? If that's his best role and he can follow up last year with another good productive year out of Jaden Daniels, that's wonderful. Problem was, in Arizona, it got stale. It was too simple at times, even for a guy like Kyler Murray, where you'd think you could open up the playbook and have a lot more at your disposal. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury's turned over a new leaf. I hope for his sake he has. The Commanders were so fun to watch offensively last year. He's got to prove it this year, and then I'll be more bought in.
Yeah, and then you always wonder, was that the immature, entitled Kyler Murray, or was it...
And Cliff Kingsbury, for that matter.
Yeah, trying to appease his protege.
But also taking that jump from Tech to the NFL, USC to the NFL.
Yeah, but you got to think he was hired essentially for Kyler Murray.
Yes.
So you're in the back of your mind, I got to be right for him because that makes me right. Now, whatever. The only thing that worries me about those Commanders is, like, I would take the Colts offense. I would take the Colts overall. Jaden okay. Daniels is significantly better than Daniel Jones and Richardson put together.
Probably doubled.
But skill position wise, I go with the Colts, especially on the outside.
You like Pittman, Downs, Pierce?
They're Mitchell? Young. Now, Terry McLaurin is a guy, but Deebo Samuel, a little bit old in the tooth. Noah Brown. Okay, we got to see it again. Mm-hmm. Okay, then let's look at running back here. Let's look at running back. Okay, Brian Robinson Jr., he's on the trading block. So you can't. Then you got Austin Eckler, Jeremy McNichols, and Rodriguez.
Well, and that Bill McCloskey guy. Merritt,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know, you got Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
That's who wants to go by Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, how do you go from Ja'Cory to Bill? But that's fine.
Bill Barney Jr. wearing number two for Nebraska football this year.
So it's great that you're a preseason story.
Mm-hmm. We see those all the time.
But it's different when it comes here in 2 weeks and you got to, you know, really be live on stage. That's where I really worry about the Commanders doing it again. And let's not, you know, really turn our nose up or turn our, you know, a blind eye to the Giants. The Giants will be better. They will be better.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But how much?
Enough to knock the Commanders off.
Is that because of the quarterback position?
Yeah, you got Jameis. First of all, you got Russell Wilson or Jameis. And you better hope Jameis don't get in there. In New York, is on.
The number of quotes that we can get from Jameis in New York.
Jameis will just go in and rally. He'll be getting free pizza down there in Little Italy, Italy and all that stuff.
Eat some W's. There's a W in New York, just like there was a W in New Orleans.
I think the two teams that are most interesting to see if they can back up last year's success are the Commanders and the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I hope the Vikings do. And obviously, DP hopes the Commanders do. But I think the Vikings is all going to be how they start. And that defense is going to have to lead it. And then Justin Jefferson is going to have to be healthy all year. Also, let's not forget, Addison is suspended 3 games.
Yeah. Tough way to break in a rookie quarterback.
Hockenson is coming off injury. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be a little bit of tough sledding. If they can keep their head above water, then they're gonna be right on track. So I do think JJ McCarthy will play well. I do think O'Connell does really well with quarterbacks.
Who does JJ McCarthy need to model his game after in the NFL? Is he?
He needs to be.
Is he Jalen Hurts ish? Probably not as good with the legs.
He needs
is
to he, be a bootleg version of Joe Burrow. He doesn't have the arm talent. But Joe Burrow will gut punch you with the off schedule, you know, quarterback, you know, scramble first down. He'll make the good throw. He's tremendous, especially early in his career. Clock management and making the right play. That's where he needs to be. Get it to your guy. Get it to Justin Jefferson like he did Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. Get it to Addison just like T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. Get it to Hockenson like he had Azuma. Mm-hmm. And then line up when you got, you know, Jones and all them. And then 4 minute drill them to death, and then make that one or two, spectacular play, and then you're playing it. I don't think if you expect, and it's not going to be Joe Burrow coming in lighting the league up. It's going to be Joe Burrow being cool, calm, and collective, and taking what the defense gives you.
And see, I just think that's underrating Burrow's processing ability, and how accurate he is. Yes. I'm looking more like can JJ McCarthy be what Daniel Jones was supposed to be?
No, how about this?
Or Russell Wilson minus the beautiful deep ball.
Let's compromise Russell Wilson before he got the big head, before he started dating iconic swoopies. You know what I mean? And Daniel Jones with a healthy, now, when he had a healthy Saquon Barkley, a better than average offensive line, that Daniel Jones. But he's not as fast as Daniel Jones.
Can he be Baker?
If he's this version of Baker Mayfield.
I'm not saying year one, but eventually.
Yeah. The first year in Tampa when Baker kind of started to take over the team.
Mm-hmm.
If he's that, they might win the division.
It's on the table for him.
Brian Flores could take anybody and everybody. He's going to bring the house. They're going to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have, when everybody's either healthy or not on suspended, they have really good skill positions, guys. They got a better than an average offensive line if they perform like they should. They spent a first round pick on the guard from Ohio State, I think, who's physical, who which that was a weakness for them, right? Now, you lost Robinson, you know, to free agency, but we'll see what they do with the other guys. I think the guy they have is it the big Darishow, I think his name is.
Christian Darisaw?
Yeah. So he's, I mean, athletically, he's there. So I don't know. I think.
One thing real quick, Neil on the text line says, if JJ doesn't have outstanding running numbers, he'll fail as a quarterback. His arm talent is bottom 10 in the NFL. Harbaugh liked his arm talent, just didn't ask him to do a whole lot at Michigan. So,
well, he didn't have to. I mean, right. They were really.
It's nice to be able to see it. It's nice to not have to use it.
But I think he has better arm talent than people give him credit for. And I always question people, what is arm talent to you? Because arm talent to Neil is different than John Gruden. It's different to Shanahan. It's different to McVay.
They're different kinds of arm talent.
Right.
It's all encompassing. Let's go to break and let's touch on that. Because I think there's a lot we can get into. Right there, We'll go to break. More old school after.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back on old school. This segment of the show brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Lots of great stuff going on down there. Now, the family-owned and operated company based out of Hallam, Nebraska, they offer full estimates or free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while still keeping their prices affordable. You can learn more by giving them a call at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. All right, on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line, Neil kind of started a debate for us that we're going to continue to get into here. He said, J.J. McCarthy's arm talent is bottom 10% in the NFL. And Jay, your main point was, well, that depends on how you grade it, right? There's lots of different aspects to arm talent. It's objective and subjective at the same time. When you think arm talent, what does that mean to you?
Well, when I think arm talent, I think like Dan Marino. I mean, that's just that
pretty good example.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably extreme. Yeah, I think arm talent is just in the eyes of the beholder. I think J.J. McCarthy can throw the ball effective enough to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think there's plenty of quarterbacks that have been successful without his arm strength or talent. One that comes to mind, which I think his got underestimated, but I think J.J. McCarthy's is probably right there, or arm talent ahead of his at this point in his career, is Drew Brees.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, he has a strong enough arm. He doesn't have to be like super sexy per se, but I think he's got enough arm strength and arm talent to be more than effective. I think obviously coming from a run first offense, very, very controlled. I think as he continued to grow and mature, he started to do more. And then he started to make big-time throws.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it doesn't matter whether Connor Stallions gave him the coverage or not. He was making some big-time throws. You know, it's kind of like along the path of Drew Aller. Mm-hmm. And this is crazy where you hear Todd McShay, they're talking about Drew Aller like they forgot last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's progressed significantly from 2 years ago to last year. They're expecting the same. Now, you'd like to say that J.J. McCarthy's on that same path, but he got hurt last year. I think he'll be just fine. I think the biggest thing for him is going to be the ability to anticipate, the ability to adjust when they adjust to you, and then how O'Connell marries his offense to the skill set of J.J. McCarthy, because his skill set is significantly different than Sam Darnold's, which I think Sam Darnold probably has a better understanding of NFL offenses right now than McCarthy.
I would hope so for a guy that's been in the league that long compared to a rookie. But I think J.J. McCarthy might also have a little bit of a head start, given that Harbaugh ran some NFL stuff, right? I mean, that's an NFL guy, did a lot of that same stuff at Stanford as well, and former quarterback himself. So I don't think J.J. McCarthy is, you know, behind for a guy entering his first year playing in the NFL, but he just hasn't seen that many reps. When it comes to arm talent, I mean, I think it's all encompassing, right? I think most people would think of distance and velocity when it comes to arm talent. How far can this guy throw it? How fast can you get it there? Can you fit it into windows? But then you forget there's a whole nother category of guys that maybe don't have the 65, 70 yard arm strength, but have that ability to put the ball right where they want it when they need to, right? I think it's about having a good enough arm for the level that you're playing at, right? Because most of those throws deep down the field are what, 35, 40 yards, not 55, 60 yards for the most part.
Yeah.
Every NFL quarterback should have that in their record.
Yeah, that's got to be a guarantee. If Justin Jefferson running wide open or has a couple steps on a corner, you got to be able to hit him in stride for 6 points. Now, you don't want him to have to throttle down and all that stuff. So I think he has a more than capable arm. I think the biggest thing for him and the quarterbacks that you, which I think the true definite, this to me right now, arm talent is the ability to throw guys open. Understanding where to throw the same route to two or three different receivers so they can be the best that they can be after they get the ball.
And only some of that is on the arm, because a lot of that comes from footwork, base, core. And you were saying to me, most importantly, mentality.
Yeah.
So much of arm comes from, can I diagnose what the defense is doing before the snap? Can I anticipate what they're going to do after the snap? And then how do I react? Do I have the throw in my bag once the live bullets are
fired? If I can dissect the defense and throw, you know, bang eight, skinny post, right when he comes out of the break, I can guarantee you somebody that throws it with impeccable timing and accuracy, and then versus somebody that's maybe a little bit late on that read and just, you know, fires it in there, you won't know a difference. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, I'll take the first guy, because you'll get more big plays out of the first guy.
I agree.
Yeah. And so
I'm with you. Because there's the guys that, you know, like Josh Allen and Ben Roethlisberger, big arms. I mean, Allen's tamed it down, right? His completion percentage has gone up. Turnovers have gone down. We know that video of him throwing the ball out of the stadium, right? That's arm talent. Joe Burrow doesn't have that arm. Yeah. Peyton and Tom didn't have that arm. But they had every throw in the book, right? Yeah. I mean, for every Greg Maddux, there's a Nolan Ryan. Yeah. Both those guys had arm talent.
Yeah.
It just looks and sounds a little different.
Yeah, Nolan Ryan was hellified accurate with that fastball, and he was intimidating. That's where the mindset. Just think of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes can play. He's the cannon. He can give it to you any way you want.
He to me feels like the spiritual successor to Aaron Rodgers in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he can give. And you know what? The modern day version of arm talent is Aaron Rodgers. That's why people always say he hasn't maximized his career. With that arm talent and the times that you had home field advantage in your supporting cast, probably one or two more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's probably Aaron Rodgers. That's when Aaron Rodgers was rolling, he was pretty much unstoppable.
Maybe the most well-rounded arm in NFL history.
Because he could do,
which I know might sound blasphemous, but between the deep ball, the short game, the touch, the intermediate, the on the run, the in the pocket, the off timeliness, schedule. Off schedule, yeah. Had some clutch moments,
and
Hail Marys.
And then with the mindset, when his mind's right. Yeah.
So arm talent is absolutely all-encompassing.
And Neil, if I had to pick one between Anthony Richardson when he came out and J.J. McCarthy, the answer is twofold. I would have taken Anthony Richardson because he didn't go to Michigan. But if I had to start a franchise or be the head coach and pick one of those two to take me to the playoffs as a rookie, I'm going to take J.J. McCarthy because, number one, he knows what it takes to win. He's been a winner. Now, whatever you think about Connor Stallions, J.J. McCarthy's been a winner, and he's gotten significantly better, or at least I felt he did every single year. We saw him right here in Nebraska. That pass that he threw at the end of at the back in the end zone.
And Roman Wilson caught it over Gifford's helmet. That's an NFL throw.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the funny thing about it is as soon as guys get drafted, all you hear about is what they can't do. Bo Nix, too old. Does he have the arm talent? Why did Sean Payton take him? What did you take it for? He was accurate on intermediate to mid yardage throws. He was the most. He said he was the most accurate in the nation. He was mature. He could process information, and he fit his scheme, both physically and obviously mentally. I think it's funny where you see guys that get drafted. Now, some justifiably so they poke holes in their game. But a lot of these guys hadn't even played yet, and you're already, you know, saying what he can't do. Versus down there in New Orleans, they took your boy from Louisville, and they're trying to find any way possible not to play Spencer Rattler with the 40th pick. Do you know what? Let's look at this NFL draft. We're gonna get out of here right now.
You do that. I was also heading to Sports Reference to look at the 2023 NFL draft because, Jay, when I think about that conversation, Anthony Richardson or J.J. McCarthy, who would you have taken if you had your preference? Dare I say the Commanders / Redskins might have gotten it right by drafting both RG3 and Kirk Cousins? RG3 was the ceiling guy. Dual threat ability, good enough arm, a little bit of a project as a passer, but could run the ball. And then you get Kirk Cousins in there, you know, steady pocket guy, Michigan State. You thought you know what you're getting from the Mark D'Antonio era. What if the Colts hadn't just taken Anthony Richardson, but later on in the draft, they had taken a flyer on Stetson Bennett or Aiden O'Connell, you know, a guy just down the road from them at Purdue, even Clayton Tune, right down from Houston, right? Where you know that Anthony Richardson is the guy you want to pour into and develop. Yeah. But almost like the Cardinals did, right? They take Josh Rosen 1 year. Nope, that's not enough. We got to go get Pocket Hercules, Kyler Murray. We've seen this work in college. And I know the dynamics aren't the same, especially with the rosters and everything. But you see how Ohio State has recruited quarterbacks, how Oklahoma recruited quarterbacks, and now USC, although that's kind of gone off the rails with Lincoln Riley a little bit now too. Why develop one quarterback when you can develop two? Yeah. For different roles, and then you have an insurance plan just in case.
Especially if a guy has
questions
or holes in his game that can't they can be answered or fixed, but it's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have somebody that can actually hold the fort down, and obviously I think Kirk Cousins was a lot better in college than people gave him credit for. It was kind of like how Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins was doing some of those things too. Putting up big numbers, playing well in big games. Oh, he's just, you know, he's average.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But now back to your New Orleans Saints with Tyler Shaw.
Chuck,
whatever his name
is. It doesn't look like him, it is Chuck.
Chuck. I mean, you could have got, for an aging defense, Cam Jordan's probably done, right? So you could have got the Ed from Boston College that didn't play against us.
Mm-hmm.
You could have got Tua Umalu from Ohio State. You could have got Will Johnson, who's killing it for the Cardinals right now.
Mm-hmm.
You could have got offense. You could have got
Ursary
from Minnesota. Excuse me. And all would have been fine at that spot, right? You could have got, I guess, linebacker help, Demetrius Knight, who had an excellent year. You could have got our boy Nick. Skurtine from Texas A&M
by the way of Purdue.
You could have traded down and got the Ed from UCLA. You could have got Benjamin Morrison, the corner. You always need corners.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a quarterback that ever since they've been in rookie minicamp, there's like, this dude is not good.
Mm-hmm. He's Bo Nix without the upside right now.
You could have, I mean, it's not even about Shedeur Sanders. You would have been better off drafting Dylan Gabriel.
Right?
Kellen Moore, you're a lefty. Mm-hmm. He's a lefty. Marry your offense to him.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you a little bit more out there on the edge. You could have went play action, RPO, Jalen Hurts, kind of just a little bit of a mini version, obviously. Short passing game, throw it over top with Olave.
Mm-hmm.
And really had, okay, I see why you picked him in the third round.
Olave staying healthy is going to be such a key for whoever that quarterback is.
Yeah.
He was tearing it up.
But that's what you could have done in the third round.
Yeah. Now, we're not talking first or second. Yeah. We're talking still there in the third.
And then you could have took the big defensive tackle from Texas, the other one that didn't, that you took the other part of Broton. You could have took, Vernon Collins or Collins in the mm-hmm. second round. And drafted a quarterback in the third, maybe even the fourth. Now you're franchise. Now you're done. And it's no different than with Anthony Richardson. Now we're back real quick before we go to break. Here's what people don't understand about this decision. You essentially, Shane Steichen, has ruined his career. 85%. That 15% has to be him essentially coaching himself, getting extra work by a quarterback guru outside of the time that you're there for the Colts, which you're there as a quarterback with Daniel Jones and, you know, studying tape. So now you got to put in extra work. And then more importantly, you have to find a legitimate chance to reinvent yourself.
You better have a good agent that knows someone who's willing to give you a chance.
It's essentially by chance. Mm-hmm. Now, what he has to hope for is an opportunity to show enough improvement while he's running scout team reps and the little reps that he's getting with the ones or twos, that once he gets in the game, he can kind of carve out, you know, some success like Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. You got to get an opportunity. But here's the problem. The quarterback class this year led to Justin Fields getting paid like a starter.
Yeah.
That will not reign true for Anthony Richardson in a year or two.
Well, even in 2026,
right?
You know, when he's on the fourth year of that option or the fourth year of his deal.
And do you really believe in him? You're going to give him a fifth year and you essentially have benched him three times. I mean, at some point you just got to walk in and say, you know what? We messed up, man. We to give you a chance in your career. Can we just part ways the right way and just go from there?
Better for you, better for us.
Yeah.
Sorry about it. Too late to take back. Yeah.
Because Shane Steichen already let you know, I'm starting this dude to save my job.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I put you in, I really don't want you in. And then what's going to happen? Say Anthony Richardson gets in there and goes lights out, and they end up somehow getting in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
What's that relationship like?
Thanks for saving my job. You want this extension? Yeah.
You know, You know what? Hey, you know what he's gonna say. You know, Austin, that really wasn't me. That was Ballard. Yeah,
it was Ursay.
Yeah, yeah.
The RIP.
Yeah, it's not a good situation, but it's the NFL. We'll see what happens. And so, we'll take a quick break.
That's a good plan. Yeah. I'll pick your brain a little bit during break for where we're going to go for this last segment, because I have an interesting hypothetical related to Anthony Richardson. I think that's where I want to take it. We'll probably do that in the short segment.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back putting a bow on hour two of old school. This segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. Get your tickets today to see Love Volleyball Nebraska play all across the state. Visit the love.com portal. See all sorts of former Huskers, national champions, Olympic champions, national team players. All sorts of incredible talent taking the floor for Love Volleyball Nebraska this coming season. I'm Austin Orman, joined by Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman here on Old School with Foreman and Orman. All right, Jay, here's the question. Not after 2025, but after 2026, who is more likely to still be a member of their current franchise? Is it Anthony Richardson with the Colts or Micah Parsons with the Dallas Cowboys?
I think Micah Parsons will be there for two or three more years, reluctantly. I mean, he'll be paid, but it'll be on the franchise tag and all that stuff.
Does he get the double tag, or do you think they?
If they don't pay him, two things are going to happen. They're either going to pay him like the week of the game, Jerry Jones going all the way back like with Emmitt or something like that, or he's going to come in and play. If I was him, I would say skip the 10 games and play six, but man, you can't pass up that money. I'm bringing it. I might try to get a personal foul every game. Cause now you know what I'm saying? But I think he'll be there. I could see Anthony Richardson because I sent you what his agent said. When an agent talks like that,
mm-hmm.
Let's get this quote here.
I'm working on getting it pulled up as well. Let's see. We have a lot to discuss. Trust is a big factor, and that is at best questionable right now. Anthony came back and made the improvements in the areas he needed to improve, and by all accounts, he had a great camp.
Yeah. When he says it's questionable
at best,
that he's ready. Therefore, the trust is gone. So essentially, he's drawing a line, let my client go, which then affects you financially, let him go prosper somewhere else, which then therefore could help you get fired.
Hmm.
because he doesn't want to play for it. It's the Bryce Young, but except for Bryce Young got the opportunity. Now your boy
Canales. Dang, I'm stuck with him.
Oh man, you're a lot cuter than I thought you were. That was a bad. What, it was a bad picture. What is it? What do you call it?
Lighting
what,
was bad.
What does it say? You look better in person than right. than in the picture.
The filter didn't do you justice.
The filter that you forgot to put your filter on. Oh man, you're beautiful without the filter. You should just be like that. Yeah, it's he's got a hope that he gets an opportunity, and then if he gets an opportunity, legit opportunity to do his thing, he's got to do his thing.
If.
But the hard thing is it's just maturity thing, but I thought he saw some improvement, but it just lets you know where Ballard maybe has told Steichen where he's at or where they're both at, considering Irsay's daughter is not playing. She's playing absolutely no games.
Zero of them.
Zero. Water boy, if you ain't watering, gone. Offensive coordinator, if you sound like a Yahoo.
You ain't coordinating?
Gone. She just, the best part about her, she's like, I just want to see what you sound like in the most high intense, like pressure environment. I want to listen to this.
It's savvy. I like that move from her.
I like the move, but it's not a true representation of who you are as a coach. Because
well, she's also at practices and whatnot.
Right. But that's even
just
worse.
Another piece of the puzzle. Because
that's even worse. Now I'm comparing you to it from a controlled environment to an uncontrolled environment under high pressure. Just imagine you out there, and I'm the linebacker coach. Franklin's out there.
He needs to be off the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, he got brand new.
He got brand new.
He's getting a lot of free steaks and shrimp at Elmo's. but just imagine he gets knocked out or he knocks somebody out. The message that you're going to hear through the headset is not going to be as good as it was as I'm getting after him because you play better. It's like, oh, you know what? We're in some trouble. Mm. So, I mean, it sucks for him. He's a young player. I think more. Here's what I want to ask you, Austin, before we go to break. Text line, give us your thoughts too. Are more quarterbacks' careers ruined by upper management or coaching / how they play? Or just is it upper management or the player?
I'm going to guess that it's going to be on a more micro level, more on the player and the coaching they receive. Because I think when those careers are ruined or set back by ownership, it's more glaringly obvious. The conversation around it is so different, right? Oh, this guy's a bust. Oh, he never had it. Oh, he never learned how to throw. Versus the Colts where, oh, well, they said they were going to be patient, and then turns out they weren't going to be patient. Oh, we're back to being patient. Nope, sorry. Now we're not patient again. That, to me, is more front office than anything. And it comes through the coach, right? Why did Steichen make the decision he did to go with Daniel Jones? Because I felt Daniel Jones gave us the best chance to win football games in 2025. That's self-preservation, which tells me there's been a message from above, win or else. Show us what you got or else. So while the coach made that decision was probably made for him by ownership telling them about his job.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably 50-50 because then you got the Jamarcus Russell, which I think is definitely on upper management, but then also on him, immature, not knowing what practice habits are. Then even you look at somebody that had success, but I always felt like upper management probably didn't get, I wouldn't say get him the best because he had Brandon Marshall, but like a guy like Jay Cutler, did he really have, and I think that's more on him because he couldn't get the support based on how he was in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, guys like all the guys in Cleveland, it can't be all of them were that bad.
Right. I mean, clearly Baker wasn't that bad.
Well, that's it. That's on upper management.
Mm-hmm.
Then you obviously didn't get like David Carr. Did he know how to be a pro? But I think that did you really have the weapons he needed? And then when they were evaluating him after his rookie year, they always brought up the 82 sacks.
Yeah. Which sacks are a quarterback stat, but only to a degree. They're not all offensive line. They're not all quarterback.
It's probably a little bit of both, but it's just that, you know, you stymie a lot of guys. A lot of guys get stymied
mm-hmm.
based on the environment. Like, yeah. J.P. Lawson and E.J. Manuel up in Buffalo, did they really have weapons? I mean, you brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you had Lee Evans, a couple there, but really, did you have the guys you need? So it's, I think it's all, like, 50-50, but I think it's also interesting about this Colts and who's going to be the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the next guy that just gets the okey-doke? Yeah, it's great. That's what I would say. It's great when you get drafted. They go to your living room. Everybody's hyped, jumping on the couch.
Now they're kicking you to the couch.
Yeah. And you get there. He's like, man, I want to go back to my dorm. So anyways, we're going to take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, old school. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.